Go wild with Nation Gear's end of regular season merch madness sale. Nation Gear is offering our favorite fans 20% off all regular season merch, and we're going to give you free shipping on any orders over $200. Stock up your closet for the playoffs, rep your team, and grab that merch you've been eyeing up all season long. Don't wait. This sale only lasts from April 1st until April 7th. Shop the sale at nationgear.ca.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
You're listening to Nasty Knuckles, the Hockey Outlaws podcast, with your host, Terry Nasty Suttermeyer, and former Philadelphia Flyer enforcer, Riley Cote, as they go behind the scenes with your favorite NHL players. This week's guest is 6-time All-Star and captain of the Philadelphia Flyers, the G-Unit, Claude Giroux. Time to face off.
Welcome back to another episode of Nasty Knuckles. What is going on, Nasty?
What's up, Riggs? Not much, buddy. Just grinding away in the shop this week. Some Howie Steel.
Oh, yeah?
And, yeah, I got my everyone reach out to me via email or text about some skates I have as well.
Beauty.
But, yeah, been busy, buddy. How about yourself?
Yeah, man, just popped back in to record this down at the beach in Lewis Beach, Delaware, and enjoying the sun with the family. So it's been nice. But
is that all you do? Is just go on vacay?
It's just certainly been seeming like Mexico a week ago.
You're missing all the men's league games. The boys
are pissed. Sorry, man.
You missed Kaz.
Oh,
last Friday night. Blue was there.
I know, Blue. Big Blue. Straight out of the hospital. Big Blue.
Yeah, he's got it.
He's back.
When you're 86 and you're popping 100 milligram Viagra's, that's not – I don't think his heart can handle it anymore.
No, man, he's got to cut that back. He's got to cut the dose back or cut it out completely, man. Go all match.
I said, Blue, is Kaz telling me the truth? Did you really pop a Viagra? You went to the hospital? He goes, yeah. I said, are you serious? He goes, no. he's got no teeth. I'm like, I can't tell if he's telling me the truth or he's fucking around with me.
I wish it was the truth. It would have been a better story.
Oh, Matt, this guy, though, he was dead. You should have seen. He's a machine. I'm going to have to post it because he was moving.
Got some moves?
Oh, man. Does he?
Loves
ever.
The crew?
Right. Loves the crew and loves the ladies.
Oh, man.
Dancing with the ladies. I watched him while we were laughing. Kaz is probably mad because we were watching Blue the whole time instead of the band. No, I'm kidding. They rocked it out, man. It was a good show.
All right. We're going to have to post a video or two of Blue because you know who he is.
He's a Nasty Knuckles guy.
So he is a Nasty Knuckles guy.
He's an absolute beauty.
Right on. Well, what's going on in the hockey world, Nast? Got some updates?
Yeah, I mean, we got both semifinal series have started, and the Islanders, I shouldn't say shocked anyone, really, the way this team is.
Yeah, man, they're going strong.
Barry Trotz. I mean, you just can't count them out. I don't care who they're playing. They're just, God, they're so structured.
Yeah, got them going.
They're so structured. And they just play you know, Trotsky's way. And, you know, they're playing game two tonight as we speak. It's a 1-1 game, so we'll see what happens. It's been a good game so far. Very, very scrappy. Boys are on edge a little bit. Yeah, a little tilly there in the first.
Our buddy Pat Maroon checking with old Martin.
Yeah, two big men there. Oof. I wouldn't want to be in the middle of that scrap.
No kidding.
Of course, I would, like, need a couple of phone books if I was standing.
Yeah, you definitely have to
start
growing.
What are you trying to say?
Hey, we're almost the same weight now. I'm a buck.
That's true.
Soaking wet.
I'm just a little guy now. That's true. Hey, Elvis we went to the doctor today. He weighs 52 pounds, dude. He's like 5'8". He's fucking left.
A solid 52.
52 pounds. I'm like, dude, you weighed 42 like 2 years ago. Like,
yeah, right? He's packing
bones,
on 10 pounds every
tall,
2 years.
He's just tall, man. He's so lanky. He's fucking Bambi. He looks like Bambi running around. But anyway, and then we had Vegas going up 1-0 last night on Montreal.
Yeah.
It was a good game.
Another scrappy one.
Yeah, it was a scrappy game. But,
man, every every whistle, there's a little skirmish. And
yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I enjoy that. I mean, I think that's what people like about it. You know, they're trying to make this, like, obviously those two teams didn't play at all.
Right. Yeah, so, exactly.
Carey Price kept them in it, in my opinion.
Yeah. He looks good.
It could have been a lot worse, but maybe they'll, you know, we'll see what happens in game two. Of course, I thought Colorado wasn't going to lose a game after watching game one of last year.
Yeah,
series.
I know, right?
So, I mean, you just never know. But it's been entertaining, that's for sure.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think Montreal has got a little more to give offensively. I think they're going to squeeze out a game or two, but I still think Vegas wins that series. They just look crisp and fast and. They execute, it seems. Yeah, everything. Yeah, right, exactly.
They just basically have everything.
But
and Fleury, man, the flower, like, God, right. This guy's so good too, man. God.
Yeah, to perform the way he is, you know, not that he's old, but, you know, he hasn't lost any juice in his game, it doesn't seem like, you know.
A few years ago, we're talking 9 years ago, I was wondering where he was because we beat them and six games and we had Briz and that series, like, Flower just had a tough time.
I mean, yeah, I remember
a ton of goals.
Yeah.
And you know, you're kind of like, well, maybe, you know,
yeah,
I was saying he was done, but God, what a turnaround. I mean, this, and he goes on and wins a couple more cups in Pittsburgh and could win one this year.
Jeez, he got a good chance.
He's unbelievable.
Yeah, that happens a lot with goaltenders. You know, you have a couple good years, and obviously he was a high pick, and he's, you know, a big name goaltender. But, you know, goalies seem to fizzle off pretty quickly sometimes, you know, one bad year, and then it's like wheels start falling off the carriage. But he seemed to really, you know, respond from that and obviously string together a bunch of successful seasons. So nice to see him. Seems like a really good guy and just good positive attitude. So I'm sure that helps.
Yeah, that's what they say. He's all just a fun dude to be around, man. Been able to meet him a couple times. He sent Elvie a nice video too for his birthday, which was cool.
Did he? Awesome.
Yeah, Elvie loved it. But yeah, man. So we'll see what happens. So far, entertaining, like we said, and see where it goes.
Awesome. Well, let's get into our interview with G.
All right, it is presented to you by DraftKings Sportsbook. DraftKings Sportsbook is not only my favorite sportsbook, but also America's top-rated sportsbook. I love using DraftKings Sportsbook. It is easy to navigate, has plenty of instructions for new bettors, and nearly limitless ways to get in on all of the action. My friends and family have been loving DraftKings Sportsbook, and I know you will too. Listen to this great offer, Riggs. DraftKings Sportsbook is putting you courtside with a chance to turn $1 into $100 in site credits. That's right. Pick any basketball team that is still in contention, bet $1, and if that team wins, you win $100 in site credits, brother.
Ooh,
oh, yeah.
Sounds like a deal.
It is. Got to put it on the Sixers because they got to come back from last night. Anyway, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook also offers great odds and promotions on baseball, hockey, and so much more all week long. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable, so you can deposit and withdraw your funds at your convenience. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code Knuckles when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 in free credits. Bet on the basketball team of your choice to win their next game, and if they do, you will claim $100 in free credits. That's promo code Knuckles for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or PA only. New customers only. Wager paid out in site credits. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in Indiana, 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Boom.
Let's go, Nast.
Let's do it.
Welcome back to another episode of Nasty Knuckles. I'm Riley Cote.
And I am Derek Settlemyer. And this week, we are so pleased and honored to have number 28, the captain of the Philadelphia Flyers, Mr. Claude Giroux. And I said it right, not like Clarkie that time when you got picked. Welcome to the show, brother.
Hey, good to be on the show. I've been listening to you guys every episode, so it's good to be on here.
Awesome, man.
Thanks, buddy.
Appreciate you carving out the time, and good to see you again, man. It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while. It's been a while for sure. Too long.
Yeah, I know. It's been way too long. Yeah, so you're back in Ottawa. Obviously postseason and a little quarantine action, and now you're back back into your personal life and enjoying the off season and well, probably not preparing for next season quite yet, probably still in recovery mode, but talk to us about the end of the season and going back home for the off season.
Anytime you don't make the playoffs, it's always a shitty way to start the summer. Got back maybe a month ago and had to quarantine for 14 days. So I was home with Ryan and Gavin, and we had a backyard and be in the pool, played hockey outside. And he's a pretty active little guy. So he kept us pretty busy for 14 days here.
I bet.
He's a little wheel, man. I haven't seen that little guy, obviously, for a long time, but it's funny just to see him running around now, man. Like, dude, you know what? You're getting old, bro.
You're getting old.
Fuck. I mean, you almost caught me. Two more years, we'll be the same age. As you know,
I'm 32 now.
I stopped going up, man. It's too depressing, bro.
Yeah.
Here was the big one that I should be happy. I never thought I'd make it this long. You know how I've been known to run a little bit. But it is awesome to see Gav, man. And now you have another one on the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Congratulations.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Another boy in due date's August 11th. So two boys running around.
I should have called you in for the reliever after by two girls. But I finally knocked one out with Elvie. So
you got it done.
I'm good now. Thank goodness. Riles is still there. He's got his two beautiful little girls. He wants a little rigatoni.
With my luck, I'd get a set of twin girls for sure.
Yeah, back you would.
Four girls in the house.
Oh, that's awesome. But anyway, hey, G, so obviously we don't need to talk a lot about it. It was a tough year. Not what anyone expected. Obviously, I know you, and I know how I always say on this show and other podcasts that I've done that G's a guy that hates losing almost more than you like winning. I know that's cliche, but just not what any of us are expecting. And don't blame me and Riley, because we were so optimistic every week. You know, it was like, you know, we start off great, and then a couple of hiccups, and you're still early in the season, and we're like, yeah, we'll be fine, blah blah blah. But you know, I know it's tough for you, like you said, when you don't make the playoffs. It's not a lot of fun, especially when you're finishing like 10 games left. You know, you still show up. Still professional, obviously, but it's got to be tough.
No, for sure. It's especially with the big step we had last year in the bubble in the playoffs. You know, we were playing pretty good hockey. We ended up being first place to get in the playoffs and losing obviously the Islanders in Game 7.
But, hell of a series too.
Thinking we're gonna get momentum out of it and be able to build on it. And we love our team. Like, we love going to the rink every day and playing for one another. And being in this position, it's obviously it's not fun for anybody. So, this summer is going to be huge to everybody, just to look themselves in the mirror and worry about themselves and come back in camp and be ready to to do our thing.
Yeah. That's all. I mean, that's all you can do. It's you know, it's no fun when things start going the wrong way. And it's like, we talked about it with Scott Lawton. Sometimes things snowball and then you're trying too hard, almost like people are like, how can you try too hard? But you know what I mean? When you say you try, everyone's just trying so hard. And, it was so many expectations, like you said, after last year, and just couldn't get rolling. And the COVID thing, I didn't think it was fair, not to give you guys excuses. You guys never made an excuse, but I didn't think it was fair that you ended up playing a lot of games with not just two guys out, six guys out. I didn't think that was fair. I thought, saw a lot of teams get their games canceled, more games than you guys did anyway, but it's still just such a shit show. From the bubble was hard. You guys away from your family. And this year you're kind of in a bubble, basically on the road, because you can't really do anything. You know, did that come into play at all? You think, you know, with I know everybody has to.
Well, everybody's got, like you said, everybody's got pretty much the same schedule, but you know, you play seven games in what, 12 days. You're just like, there's no recovery. You can't take care of your body as well. It's kind of messed up. And I think just like you said, is like when you lose one, you lose two, and then you try to work a little harder, try to do a little much and try to force it. And then it gets worse and worse and you can't get out of it. So, one example is, 1 year I didn't score the start of the season for I think it was 18 games, and Paul Holmgren called me in his office and told me, "Gee, you're working too hard. Stop working too hard." And I look at him like, "What? Like,
what?
What the hell do you want me to do? You want me to stop working?" He's like, "Yeah, work less. It's gonna work. Just relax. Like, you're going way too hard." And I got out of that meeting more confused than before. I kind of just relaxed and. Went well after that.
Well, that's you though. Like, that's what I mean. You're like, you're such a competitor. I mean, with anything, you know, I've been around you a long time and I've been fortunate enough to know you since you're a young kid, and you're a competitive guy, man. I mean, you think you could beat anyone in arm wrestling, and I've seen you beat I've seen you beat guys you shouldn't beat, actually. So I'm not going to say anything about it, because you usually, but you know, that's one of the great things about you and you being a captain and such a good captain is, you know, it's not always about the loudest guy, but I feel like being around you for so long, I really don't think I've ever seen you take a night off of a game, and even practice. You practice hard too, but that's something that a lot of people can't say, but I know how competitive you are, and you know, you get wound up, you know, when things aren't going well, and you should. I love that about you. And, you know, I know.
I remember we were playing at home, and like, we're known to like give it to the refs a little bit. And, you know, as captain, I had to tell the boys, let's stop yelling at the refs. And I'm probably one of the worst, to be honest, but I try to like calm down so everybody calms down. And then this one game, I remember I told the guys, just everybody relax. Just don't yell at the refs. Like, I'll go talk to them. Let's not yell from the bench. And then the ref does something, and all I hear is Nasty behind me. Starts yelling at the ref and give it to him.
Right.
And I turn around, and I'm like, Nasty, shut up. And you were so mad at me for the rest of the game. You wouldn't talk to me. And then I'm like, maybe I should have like not yell at him, just like tell him. Go back to the room after the game we won. And we just looked at each other and we just started laughing. And
he was right though. And he did say that a lot, boys, leave the refs alone. But one of my favorites was a couple of years ago, G, and I busted out laughing because they went to video review and Hack was the coach, Dave Hackstall. And Hack says, "All right, boys," kind of the guys are around the bench. And he's like, "All right, boys, whatever happens here, just stay calm. If it's a goal, we're good. If it's not, just stay calm." And it's like, none of the guys are talking. And G jumps over the boards and goes, "If they don't call this goal, I'm going to fucking lose it." He's kidding. And I started fucking dying. And Hack just put his head down, started laughing. I said, "Holy fuck." But G, you're known a little bit. You chirp a little bit. I don't know if people know, but that's another thing I love about you.
Yeah, you got to
like talk. One of my favorites was we were talking about was when you came back from the concussion. God, way back, I think 2012 was. I think it was here we had Yogs, and anyway, you're taking a face off with Otter. Remember, you'd miss a bunch of games, and you had a hell of a game. I think you had 4 points that game. You're coming back from a concussion, and they're getting ready to take the face off, and they're mic'd because the HBO was following the team around, following us around. And G says, "Oh, you taking this face off?" And Otter right away, you know, he's a chirper. He's like, "I'm fifth in the league. You're a good player, but I'm a good player too." And G said, "I didn't say you weren't a good player." He says, "I'm fifth in the league. I'm going to win this thing straight back." They drop it, G, just right back clean to the win. D. I can't remember who's on there. Oh, just right back. Fuck, I laughed my ass off. And it was good because it was
really
like
tripping, though. That's just
I know it was true. Yeah, it was funny though. But you got him wound up so much from that.
I knew it was mic'd up. So I'm like, I got to win this one.
Yeah, you got to win it. And then he was so wound up. He remember he went after Labby. Yeah, Labby, like it was the whole thing. It was kind of funny, but.
Yeah.
And awesome. I was glad that was your mic for that, so people could hear a little bit of it.
Yeah.
Rouse, you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, I know exactly what you're talking about. I was going to ask you, you talked about, well, we talked a little bit about being captain of the Flyers. And, when you took over being the captain in 2011, did you change anything about your presence in the locker room, or was it just like business as usual?
Well, I was pretty young and, just – when you hear about being a captain, you got to be a leader. You got to say the right things. You got to do the right things. So I was really trying to just do the right things and say the right things. But at the end of the day, early on, maybe I was trying to do too much, trying to be too much of a good captain, say the right things all the time instead of just playing the game. And one of the best captains I've had is Mike Richards, and he's not a guy that's talks that much. He does talk when it's time, but he just shows by example. And he was a gamer. Anytime that we need something to happen, he was the first one to make it happen. So I think what Richie did, I learned a lot from him. And took me maybe a few years to realize that a letter doesn't really mean you have to talk or do anything. It's just go out there and be yourself, basically.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, because that's what I've seen before, whether it's a captain of a team or a coach. People have these ideas of how they should be, and they want to criticize for them not being a certain way, when in fact what makes them the best leader is that they're just themselves. And, you lead by example, and, you don't have to be this rah-rah guy all the time. You speak up when it's necessary. But I think fans specifically, they don't understand, that it's more about the individual character and being genuine, because that's what really generates a leader, versus like having to be this, like, this superficial or, inside the box type of leader, which they would expect. And you're standing up in front of the team every day and giving them like the charge up, pump up, speech. But I asked you that because Richie, you mentioned Richie, and I see it in you. It's just, you guys are like humble. Say quieter leaders. Like you know what you're going to get from you guys every single night, right? And so does the guy next to you. And I think that's a huge chunk of being a leader. And then when shit hits the fan, or it's going well, and we got to humble the guys. Like you're there to kind of step in and say something. But I know it's got to be a challenging position for a young guy stepping in that and thinking you got to take the world, on your shoulders, and you got to be like superhuman, when in fact, like you said, it took you a few years. All you really needed to do was to be yourself and not put all that kinds of crazy pressure on. But I'm glad you mentioned that, because it's, I think people need to hear that, because not everyone is the same, and different types of leaders.
No, for sure. And it's like, some guys are going to be best leaders without a letter on their jersey, because they don't feel that pressure that they need to be a leader, and they just become themselves. And then sometimes somebody gets an A, and they feel like they have to become more, somebody that talks more and gets a voice going. But that if it's not you, it's not you. Right. So,
right.
Sometimes the best leaders are the ones that don't have a letter in their jersey.
You're right. Yeah. It comes across a little disingenuous when guys start acting a little bit differently than their actual character, right? Guys see it, and I think it loses its essence when you try too hard. Going back to, you said try too hard on the ice, you try too hard off the ice as well.
Yeah, for sure. And these days, you know, I would imagine, I don't know, I've only been with one team, you know, I know in Philly there, you have basically a leadership group, which obviously you're the main leader, but you have your other captains and then a few of the older guys or guys that have been around the league for a little bit. I think that's really key to have, you know, it's to help, not really to help, not that you need help, but it's just nice to have more voices and everyone's pulling the same way anyway, most of the time. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, leadership maybe back in the day was a little bit more one or two guys, but now I feel it's more 5, 6, 7 guys that will lead. And even like the other guys are not in the 6, 7, doesn't mean they're not leaders. It's just, right. It's yeah. good that everybody's on the same page. Everybody has the same message and that's like become a team.
Yeah, it's probably more important now than ever to have that larger core group of actual leaders. And you look at the teams that have won Stanley Cups in the last however long, it's like they got a really large group of core leaders. And, you know, obviously only a few of them are wearing letters and the rest of them are just, you know, supporting cast. But, you know, you got to have that veteran leadership. You can still be a young guy and be a leader. But, you know, the larger that core group is, I think the better chance you have of, you know, yeah. say molding and attracting these young guys to the philosophy of the club. And I was going to mention too, you also got the most games played by a captain this year, which is pretty damn impressive in the Flyers organization. So congrats.
Yeah, it is.
That's pretty amazing. So good for you on that.
It's amazing, man. I can't believe how fast this time went.
Yeah. With UG. 13 seasons. Or
remember when he came in, he looked like he was about 11.
Oh, I remember. Yeah.
What'd you
arms like seagull's legs. Just a young buck.
63 maybe.
Yeah. But what a set of mitts on that little.
Oh, who's man.
A 12-year-old there. He's got mitts. I don't know, but he's got mitts. Don't ask Clarky because he can't even pronounce his name properly. Oh man, but what a ride it's been. You got a lot left in you too, G, because you're in good shape and I know you got a lot left. So was gonna talk about when we lost the cup there, Riles was on the team. Like we had Richie on, Mike Richards, and he was just like, that was one of the biggest disappointments in my career. You know, obviously he's won two and you're gonna get one as well, but what a year, what a team. We've kind of talked about that before, but just the group looking back the other day, we had, I think it was when Richie was the anniversary or what if you really call it anniversary where he scored the goal when he ran into goalie, yep. The lock with Montreal and all that, just looking back, watching that, just looking at the guys on the bench, man. What a group. Yeah. It was awesome, man. No, so maybe you were a young kid, but you were establishing yourself at that time. Like obviously you scored a huge overtime goal in the Stanley Cup finals. It got us our first win in the finals and all that stuff. But I don't know if you want to talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, we had the team we had, it's kind of crazy how talented we were, and Kimo and Prongs back there playing 35 minutes a game. And then I think first round Cartsy and Gags broke the foot, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And then, Billy Leno came out of nowhere and started playing with Danny B, and this guy was just where has this guy been? Like,
what a trade. Well, they never let him play.
With me as the 13th, 14th forward for however long. Yeah, we squeezed him in the lineup and then he dominated.
We're playing 20 minutes a game. And
really, yeah, right.
Really, he was a good guy and everything. This guy's a funny, good dude, but yeah. Can he play hockey? Like, he gets thrown in and he ends up breaking the rookie record, which is funny. Remember him waving? And I remember Labby. They put it up on the big screen and everyone's standing up and Billy's waving to the clapping to the crowd. And, and Labby's like, this is the middle of the game. He goes, isn't he like fucking 30? It's because they said rookie record. Yeah. Like fucking 30. I said, he's close to it. He's somewhere around there.
No. Yeah. That year it was awesome. Obviously I was 21 years old maybe. And team was a little older, veteran guys that have been there. And it's my second year in the league that time. And I'm like, this league's easy. We're going straight to the finals. And you're like, oh, I'm going to go back there. And not even a sniff. It's
crazy how it goes.
It's a good league. And You know, you take it, you think things for granted sometimes, but, yeah, that team was, just the way it all happened. It was last game of the season, going to shootouts, and then down 3-0 to Boston. I mean, that whole thing, that whole month and a half, 2 months, that rush was just insane. And the city was buzzing, and, that was, we were close.
Yeah, we were close. It was, I don't know if you remember this, G, but, I mean, I know you remember McDaniels and our boy Danny Moore, who we bring up quite a bit. He'll be jacked up. We would go. We were going there, and it was the night after we beat the Rangers in the shootout, and you and Danny Beast scored, and Bush came up with the big stops, and we went to McDaniels, and I remember you, and it was so great because you were young, and you were so fired up. Like, you know, he didn't have the beard, ladies and gentlemen. He's just this little young looking dude, but he was fucking stud. And I remember you saying, guys, we can win. And I'm like listening to you, and guys are like, yeah. No, we can like win. We can win, you were saying. And I was like, this is great. This kid's so fired up, man. and we almost did. And we could have. Oh, we could have won. I mean, could have, should have, would have, but. Yeah. You're still gonna get one. You got one coming here. Stay positive.
Yeah, that was a tough pill to swallow for sure. And leading up to that season, there, I want to say maybe it was the year before, or maybe it was the year before that, where you landed up, you know, being with the Phantoms and going down there. And I think John Paddock was your head coach. But can you talk to going down there and the mindset you had and how you learned from the experience you got from playing, you know, say half the season down there in the Phantoms?
Yeah. I mean, the year before I played junior and I had a great year, and everybody was saying I was going to make the Flyers. And so I go to camp and I didn't have a great camp. I knew that, but I still thought I had a chance of making the team, and I got sent down, and I was pretty disappointed in myself and kind of the situation and how I wanted to be playing for the Flyers. And so the first 8 games or so, I maybe had a bad attitude, kind of grumpy, kind of pouting, and then didn't play that great. And then I remember talking to John Paddock a lot, and he helped me a lot by just figuring it out. And, after that, I just kind of be like, okay, if I want to make it, I just got to be the best player here, and started playing. And John Paddock was, early on, I wasn't playing well, but he was still playing me 20, 25 minutes. He making me kill penalties, power plays, first line. He just kept putting me out there. And then my confidence grew a little bit. I was playing with Jared Ross that year, and we had a great connection together. And then around Christmas time, that's when I got called up. And, going back now and thinking about it, going to Phantom was definitely the best thing for me, being able to play with against pro guys and older guys, and being able to kind of find my game. And I was actually always a winger, and then John Paddock, when I went to the Phantoms, moved me to center, and that's how I became a center.
I didn't know that either.
That's in juniors, I was a winger in juniors, and then went in EA and started playing center. So it was awesome playing for the Phantoms too. I mean, just a good group of guys, and we had a great year. And Dan, I remember playing with Danny Savet too.
Yeah.
We had a great, also a great connection together. And every game we'd have different plays, and every play I'd be like, okay, we should try this. He's like, oh yeah, I love that play.
He loves set plays. Danny Savet. Oh, I loved it.
Gee, you must have felt like a giant standing beside JR Ross. JR Ross. Yeah. He made me feel tall. He made me feel tall.
Fuck, was he shifty?
He was a good player, man. He was a really good player.
He was.
That reminds me, when Ryan Podell was here and Ross got called up, this is a true story. Ryan Podes hadn't met him yet for some reason. I don't know if we had skated at the center that day, or, and he was at the other building. I'm not really sure how it happened, but Ross, like JR is like getting ready to go out for warmups. And I'm like, I said to Ryan Podell, cause he's so gullible. Sorry, Podes, you are, if you're listening. but I said to Podes, I'm like, I can't believe this kid's dad paid that much money for him to take warm up. Pulled, I was like, what? I'm like, yeah, this guy right here, what's his name? Like Ross or something. It's on his, I think he's on his jersey. He goes, hey, what are you talking about? I'm like, yeah, he's fucking, look at him. What's he, 17? And he's like, oh my God, buddy. And he's like, hey, have some fun out there, kid. Like he's patting him on the back. And we're, I'm like crying. And I'm like, dude, he's fucking playing, man. And he goes, I know. And I'm like, he had no clue. And we were all dying. He thought his dad had paid for him to warm up.
That's classic.
Well, he was a little guy, but he was a good little player, though.
Oh, man, he was shifty. Yeah. And would you say that move, you know, going down there, like I've heard this before where guys say it's like the best thing that ever happened to them going down. You know, originally, obviously, you're disappointed. You know, you got the attitude, the long lip. But, you know, I, from a coaching perspective, and I, you know, was coaching the Phantoms there for 7 years, I always say every player should play in the minors for at least half of a season, unless you're, you know, like, unless you're in that half of one percentile. Because there's so much to learn, you know, there's so much to learn, just get acclimated to the strength and the speed and just get your confidence up. And then as soon as you do that, I feel like the, you know, that next step is just so much easier versus having to grip your stick a little bit harder than you should.
Oh, for sure. I mean, the college game or junior game, it's totally different game than the pro game. And, I think if you go in the minors and kind of figure out how, what works for you, what kind of role you can have, instead of going to the NHL right away and you're giving a role that maybe it's not your role and then you can't play that well. And then you go back in the minors and then your chance is maybe not as great after that. So I do agree with you.
Yeah. And the other thing too, I mean, Nasty kind of mentioned it earlier, is your competitiveness. And I don't think, you know, people understand how competitive you are. And I shouldn't say it like that. Like the true nature of G, you know, when you talk about not just what you see on the ice, what you see in the weight room and how much you pour into training. Because I remember you back, you know, when you were, you know, skin and bones and, you know, and looked like you were 12 years old, but you're such a hustler in the fitness test. And I remember you just like ripping it up on the track and, you know, and you have such amazing skill set that, you know, I guess that stuff gets overlooked when you're a guy like me, like, you know, you got no skill set, that's like the only thing you highlight is the work ethic. But I think, you know, your work ethic is insane, you know, and I don't think people really understand that. But maybe talk to that, because obviously that was ingrained in you, whether it was before you were drafted or, you know, through development camps or whatever else. But so you seem to have a nice formula there.
Well, I think it's when I went to Gatineau in juniors, my work ethic wasn't that great. And right away, my junior coach, Benoit Grew, he really challenged me every day. He basically told me if I don't work, if I'm not the hardest working guy, I'm just not going to play. I was invited to camp, so I didn't have a lot of pull. So I was like, hey, I'm going to do whatever you tell me to do. So basically, when he just made my work ethic a habit, and it was just that if you wanted to play for his team, that's, you have to work every day. So that's big. We had a work, our team was a hardworking team, and all the older guys were just going at it every practice, every game. So as a young guy, you don't really have a choice. And then when you get, when you have that working ethic and it becomes a habit, I think you don't even think about it. You just kind of just do it.
Yeah, for sure.
That's amazing. I did not know that you were an invite to Gatineau for that. And Riles was saying that, I guess, in 187 games, 420 points later, you're like, boys,
let's move on.
Maybe you should have just had me on the team right away. But
well, you were passing the OHL draft, impressive. Were you?
Yeah, 2 years in a row, and then I was able to get him invited me and make the team.
Wow! And someone must have lost their job over that.
I know, right? That's amazing.
And my first year playing with David Krejci, he was 19, I was 17, and
he's,
I was
not
just,
bad.
He's a very dominant junior player. He still is very, very dominant. But in juniors, he would take over games, and it was unreal.
I didn't know you played with him.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's incredible. And you know, if you were to just be honest with the reason why you might have got overlooked, could you like put your finger on something that would make them not want to choose you in the OHL draft? Like, I mean, maybe undersized, but like, to me, you didn't just develop your mitts within that next year. There had to have been like something.
I think I was kind of a skill guy. I didn't really work ethic. I don't think it was there really. But when I was 16, I actually played junior tier two. So, and I had a pretty good season, but halfway through the season, I got mono, so they didn't really see me play, I guess. But that's all I got.
Riles, I used to, when G was younger and he wasn't so cool, I would say to him on the bench sometimes, like, we get a power play, and of course he'd just jump. He didn't need the coach to tell him, but he'd not. But he would jump over, and I'd be like, G, let's see, give me something, you know, give me something. Yeah. Like, all right, okay. Then, like, the last few years, I'd be like, gee, give me something. He'd be like, shut the fuck up, Nasty. I'm like, okay, fuck you then, man.
No, but sometimes it's like, no, I love it. Sometimes it's just shut up, man. I don't want to do it.
At least he's honest with you.
No, I know. I did. But then I wouldn't say anything. And then he was like, hey, you want to see something? I'm like, I do. I didn't want to say anything, though.
Hey, Nasty, you know what? When I was junior, actually, when I was 16, you're not gonna like this, but I don't think you've ever seen me with them. But I had T blades. Remember those?
Oh,
I didn't know you had T blades. Dennis Seidberg, yeah, he
wore them. Yeah.
Oh man,
or he did wear me.
I wore them at 16, so maybe that's one of the reasons.
Yeah, right.
That might be
bad style. Bad style. You're off the team.
This kid's really good, but those T blades, you can hear them outside of the arena. You can hear someone coming. You can't sneak up on
them. Myself either.
Dennis finally got out of those his last couple of years. He finally got out of those
things. Those are tough. Those are tough looking and tough sounding, but hopefully they were good to skate on, because they certainly didn't look like that.
Yeah, I thought it was so cool too.
Oh man. Hopefully they're white, not black T-blades.
I think they were white, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yogs, so you're going to go with the black.
Only Yogs can pull that.
Yeah, right. God, we were changing those all the time because they were all old. We couldn't get them. Now they actually make them again. They started making those things. Yeah, they started. Oh, yeah, you can order them now, and they started making them again. I hope no one wears.
Who's wearing those? Not in the NHL, obviously.
Yeah, men's. Just some men's league guys that wear.
Somebody will.
Oh yeah, somebody will. You're right. Someone will end up wearing them. Gee, I was going to ask you. You've been here a while now, but five coaches. You've been through five different coaches, and they all have different things. I know you enjoyed Chief. I'm not saying he was your favorite, obviously, but I mean, because you had a good relationship, as far as I know, with all the coaches. But we always kind of bring Chief up because he's been a guest on here, obviously. And I know there's more than a few times he make you laugh during the game. That's the funny thing about Chief. But yeah, like I said, you've had five coaches. You know, like, I don't want to say who's your favorite, but like, what did you like about, like, you know, Labby or Chief or Johnny Stevens, which, you know,
I got along well with all the coaches, and like you said, it's like everybody has their own way of coaching, and I mean, I don't really think of any of those coaches that were similar. I mean, you have John Stevens, that's one guy that really pushed me, and he literally told me, if you're not the hardest working guy, you're not going to play for me. So what I did, I just started working harder than I was. So he was great. And then Lavi's intensity, he motivates the boys, get going. He, you know, being obviously going to the Stanley Cup Finals with him, it was awesome. He's he finds ways to get the players to play for each other and to make it feel like a family. And we've had some good years together for sure. Yeah. And then obviously Chief, I remember when I beat him arm wrestling.
Yes. That's what I was saying.
Oh, that was amazing.
That's impressive.
Yeah. I should have just retired right there.
Right. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah. So I beat him, and then he goes, okay, we're going again. And I'm like, God damn, okay. And then he beat me. I'm like, can we keep it even? Like, we're done.
Yeah,
he's all fired up.
No grudge match.
he would be fired up.
Awesome.
I was upset when Chief got fired, because obviously I've known him for basically my whole life and good buddy. You hate to see anybody lose their job, but Hack, I really liked Hack, and I don't, the people that, it's like Riley, kind of like what you said, and we've talked about this before, but he's too stoic on the bench. Well, you don't see him when he's not on the bench. You don't see him underneath and when he's pissed off.
Right.
And, not all coaches are going to flip out, waving their arms and screaming and yelling. He's just a different kind of guy, but I really liked Hack, and I know you liked Hack too, because I remember the day he had to go and, you see him in the hallway there, and then he came down, and it was those things are tough to see, but I really liked Hack. I thought he was, I thought he did a good job, and get this new coach, got AB in there. He's got an unbelievable resume, and next year is going to be, a good year. I really believe that.
Yeah, I do. I think so too. Going back to Hack, I think the passion he has got for the game and his work ethic. I mean, every day he was going, and we're trying to figure out things. And my great coach, and obviously didn't end up great, but we had some good years with him for sure.
Yeah.
And,
Man. Really good man.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot of room for error in coaching pro sports. You don't have much of an opportunity if you don't win the first couple years. You're rode out of town. But I didn't play for Hack, but I worked with him in preseason and stuff like that. Communicated with him. I really liked his attitude towards the game, and he communicated well, I thought. And I think he might have got a short end of the stick there, but that's just the way the game works. And, and then you said, Nass there, the whole presentation of how he is on the bench. And I think John Stevens, he got ripped on for that too, is that, and I find it ironic because, part of Johnny's message was just to maintain composure, right? Like, you don't want to show everybody that you're like the village idiot and you're like losing control. So like, I learned a lot from Johnny with that message of like not like blowing a gasket every time something goes wrong and freaking out, because it's easy to do. And a Hack, I think, was a similar way on the bench. And then you got Lavi in between. Lavi's like pulling his hair out and up and down, up and down.
the boys used to like yell at me for giving him those pills. He'd start the game as soon as the puck
pills.
Dropped.
He's giving him 5-hour energies, 10-hour energies, pill.
He didn't help. He drank 7 cups of black coffee from 3:30 to 5:30. Like, I don't know how you can even put that many in your body. And then he had not only did I get him those Red Bulls, but he had the Red Bull shots, a full Red Bull and just a little thing. And then he would ask me for one of those pills, which was just a GNC pill. It was a workout pill, but it got him over the top, and the puck would drop, and it was all over. He's red. I'm like, this guy's going to drop.
Yeah, right. Back to like Nasty, like, stop it.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. He was bound it before the game even started. He was
come on, Nasty. Like,
yeah. What are you doing here?
You got to stop giving him those pills, man.
Do you remember with John Stevens, when he was coaching, we were at practice, and we were doing morning skate, and everybody had we're doing breakouts, mandatory sauce. So everybody's doing sauce. And then at one point, John goes, okay, like, just blows the whistle. No more sauce. Tape to tape only. No more sauce. So Richie's line goes up, and it goes D to D. He gets in the middle, goes to pass it, goes on his backhand, makes a backhand pass, and then Johnny just loses it. Like, what is going on? Everybody's laughing, and just that kind of team we had. Just losing.
Johnny's eye. That
Goes
I was probably just our first year, and I'm just like, what is going on?
Yeah.
Coach.
I was gonna say, G, you come out of, well, you're a hockey player, so I know there's always fun. I've never been around junior teams, but hearing you guys once you come up and hearing some of the stories, I know you still have fun, but you had to be shaking your head a little bit when you came. And great captain also, like we probably should mention is Jason Smith, Gator. Right. Like, I thought that guy, you talk about a warrior, man. Holy shit. That guy played hurt all year. But I'm just wondering, like, gee, you come in, you're a young kid. You got loops and uppie, the Legion of Poon and the shit that's going on. You're like, looking around like, what is this? Is a fucking shit show, boys.
No, we had a lot of fun. I mean, we're a lot of young guys, and we go out, and I mean, that's one of the reasons why we're tight as a team is and we do everything together. So when you're 20, you kind of follow the guys around and you can see how tight everybody is and everybody gets along, and they treated me and JVR really good. So, you know, it was a blast for us.
That was a fun year too. That year, I remember having the rookie party was in Miami, your rookie party.
Yeah.
I actually have pictures from that. It's amazing. You look like you're about 16. Yeah. So you look underage in the bar and, Ash and you know, just looking at those pictures, it's oh my god, so fun.
Ash took me and JVR under his wing. We played pretty much the whole year together. It was awesome. He had those mitts. It was unbelievable.
Oh my god,
he loved his sauce.
Oh, he did.
He would do sauce during the play. We'd get back to the bench, and like nothing happened after the sauce. You see my sauce on the guy.
Yeah. What a beauty.
Yeah,
he was on the show too. We're talking about that. A couple years, but Ash was a beauty. But he doesn't get enough credit either. People don't realize like the guy had pretty good mitts, man. He had an absolute bomb too.
Oh my god,
that wrist shot was just.
It's so hard though. Ash come back to the bench with that shit eating grin on his face, you know, like, and you just start laughing just looking at him, you know. Yeah. He's like
look, because it's half like he's half like laughing and half pissed, and it's like. You're not really sure what to make of it.
I'm not really sure what he's doing, but I think he's playing guilty. That's one thing I know.
Exactly. Think about his career. If he wasn't playing guilty the whole time, he could have been probably a top two line guy, you know, for a good chunk of his, because he had such, you know, he really does have good mitts. But he was, I think he was comfortable playing 3 and 4 and mucking it up and blasting some rippers there down the wing and and having fun with the boys. He was not a shortage of that, for sure.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Nasty. What about the time in Tampa?
When
I wanted to try a new curve and I tried one practice and you didn't bring any of my sticks.
Oh my god! Yeah, he did. He wanted to change his curve. He thought it might. You know, Richie did the same thing the one time. He went to Gagne's curve.
Same year, yeah.
Yeah, and anyway, because he hadn't scored, and then he was even further away from the net with Gaggy. He's like, I can't use this fucking thing. He tried using it. He was like, okay, just give me my other ones back. He went from a Darby, which is basically the cane curve. Now it's like it's pretty straight. Yeah. A lot of guys use it to Gaggy's, which was like this. And anyway, but we go to Tampa and I didn't bring his normal sticks because I brought the other ones. And I'm like, oh my God.
Oh, no.
But you lit it up though, didn't you?
Well, first of all, Danny B's like, I'm like, Danny, I can't score. He goes, well, you don't have a scoring curve. Like, you got to open it up a little like this. So I'm like, all right. I'm like, Nasty, can I try a new curve? And we like talk about it, get the curve. And then the sticks come in and I try one practice and he goes, how did you like him? I'm like, yeah, it wasn't too bad. Like, you got to get used to them, but they're pretty good. So we go to Tampa, but we usually Tampa and then Florida. So we get to Tampa. We don't have a morning skate. Go to the game, ready to cut my stick. And I'm like, Nasty, where are all my sticks? He's like, they're over there. I'm like, no, there's only my new ones. Where are my old ones? He's like, panic in his face. No.
You almost want to puke at that time, basically. Is what the feeling you have is like you're going to throw up.
And I'm like, Nasty, I can't play with that. I don't have one practice with it. And then the game goes on. I ended up having 2-1, I think.
Yeah.
And I look back at him after my second goal, and like you just look at me, you just shake your head.
Like,
forget about it. The next three games, I didn't have a point. I'm like, right, I'm going back.
Going back. He could have. Gee, you could play with a left hand.
Yeah.
Fuck those mitts.
The scoring.
Remember, who were you playing when you? I think it was when Coots may had a. You guys were playing together. It was when I was still there. I think it was the beginning of last year, one of the first half of the season, if I'm not mistaken. And Coots had a bad wrist. He wasn't taking face offs. I'm not sure what it was, but you ended up taking it on the opposite side where you normally, and you turned your stick around like your left handed shot and went it straight back.
Yeah.
Trying to think. And everybody on the bench.
I remember that.
Yeah. I was like, geez, man. Like, he could just play with a left handed stick if he wanted. those Mitzi Boo ones, but
but I did want to ask you about playing with Yogs and Hartsey that 1 year, because we had Hartsey on here. We talked about him having his best season that year, well, point production wise. And you know, for you, it must have been pretty amazing to play with the Yogs and Hartsey. But you know, having a guy like Yogs around you must have been pretty nice.
Yeah, I mean, I remember we signed him, just in my living room, and I see Sonny Emery Jagger. I'm like, what the hell? Like, this is awesome. So right away, he came to camp, and you can just tell, like, this guy just wanted to work and just wanted to get better. And at his age, that's just like, wow, like, that's impressive. And yeah, so we had a connection, me, him, and Hartsey. And he pushed me and Hartsey. I mean, it was not just on the ice. He was on the bike and making us do workouts. And we were all in. So that's one of the reasons why it worked. And I actually remember one time in practice, Hartsey, you know how Hartsey is. Sometimes in practice, kind of messes around, keeps the guy loose. And he messed up a drill. And then, yeah, I just lost it. He just started yelling, Hartsey, you're wasting my fucking season. And then Hartsey was so mad. He was like trying to pick it up. And everybody else was dying laughing.
I think he said something.
Hartsey talked about that. Yeah, he talked about that exact moment. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was awesome. He kept Hartsey on his toes. And after each practice, he had a new drill for me. So, learned a lot in 1 year from Yags.
Yeah, you know, it's funny when he was here, like, I especially with the chemistry you guys had, I figured he'd sign here and like stay for a while. You know, I know things don't always work out that way, but he just kind of fit in here. It was weird because, you know, he had been obviously in Pitt, Washington, and Rangers. I don't know why he just didn't go sign with the Islanders so he could the whole circle of everything like Ash. I mean, Ash played for every team.
Every time we played a team in our division, it was 250.
He's like, damn it, I played here too. Oh, that's funny. Yeah, Yogs, you guys had it was great. We've said this before too. It used to make me laugh though when on the power play, or as Joey would say, the power play. He would come back to the bench sometimes and Chief would just be giving it to him. He'd be like, hey, way to kill it off for him, Yogs. Cause he'd get on the wall there and like massage it
up and down the wall.
Like, what are you doing? Move the fucking, how much, he'd be like, how much did you put on a power play, Chief? He goes, I didn't, but it doesn't fucking matter. He goes, I dropped the mitts and was slapping guys around. That's what he said.
those two guys going at it was awesome.
Oh man. What did you think about Raff getting traded? Because I mean, you play like he had been here a long time, man, and he's one of my favorite guys. Just a funny guy, you know, obviously, and a good player, you know, like a good player. I don't think people realize, you know, he's moved up and down the lineup. I mean, there was times where he played on your line, you know, in the first line with you, and
he could play first line, fourth line, kill penalties, could play power play, can pretty much do all of it. So. And obviously in the locker room, he's kind of the glue guy. He just makes everybody happy and makes everybody laugh. He's just a goofball. But it was very weird to play against him. First of all, for him to go and lead Flyers, it was weird. And him and Coots were going at it when we played in Washington. I was dying laughing because they both changed and they're just yelling at each other. And I'm like, guys, can you
come on? That's
like,
great.
They just relax. Just like F bomb to each other and just like, it's like, guys, relax. And after the game, they see each other, they laugh. And
yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
Fucking Coots, remember when, obviously you remember, but Coots comes in as an 18-year-old, you could not even get him to say hi.
Like, yeah, he right? Yeah, he's a hermit.
I'm like, 3 years later, he finally would have a conversation with me, you know, like. Or maybe he just didn't like me. Maybe that was it too. But he was so quiet. It's funny when he does snap because you're like, oh shit, Coots, like he's losing it.
No, for sure. First year, he was very quiet. It's, and now he's got all the answers. Anytime he's got all the answers. I was like, can you go back being a rookie? It was way more fun.
Right?
Oh man, it's so funny to see him now. Just the way, obviously, grown up, he's a man now, and but it was funny. Fucking realize how long he's been here, man. He made the team when he was 18. Crazy. It is crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy. But yeah, Raph, I just brought him up just because he's such a good dude. He'd been here. It was weird seeing him in a different jersey. Just because he's,
yeah, you know, it
he's
was.
Been in Flyers since he's, you know, he was, what, 2012.
He's doing well for them too at the end there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's fun to watch.
Playing Hurt. I was kind of pulling for the Caps after that just because of him. You know, like I would like to see guys win when they, you know, they leave and they've been here so long, but it did work that way.
Yeah. Raph is the only guy that would get hurt and he would get jacked up about it. Like, gee, I'm so much better when I'm hurt. I'm like, come on. Nobody's better when they're hurt. Watch this. I'm going to take over this game right now. You were like, hurt his finger. Like, watch this. I love this.
I love this. He's a beautiful human, man. That's yeah. For sure. He is.
I was going to ask you, gee, you mean you played 13 years in the league and the game's obviously evolved, you know, tremendously. Can you give me or give us your perspective on your view of, you know, the current day NHL game and when you kind of came in the league? Not that it's like that different, because you're not like the old, you know, old school, like, you know, 90s, but the game certainly changed a lot. And yeah. Just want to hear from your perspective.
Definitely. Yeah, I mean, obviously from 13 years ago, the game's changed a lot, but I feel like the game changes every year, every 2-3 years. Whoever wins, everybody wants to do what they're doing. So right. you can just tell that every team that comes the next year, whoever won or whoever had or lost in the finals, everybody wants not to copy, but they kind of see what works and they want to do it. So you can tell like every 2-3 years, I'd say the game is always trending on one side or the other. And I mean, it's about adapting too. So 13 years ago and today's game, it's a totally different game.
It's crazy how much it's changed. What did you, just quick, what did you think about the Shifley's hit there? In today's game, like, because a few years ago, that's just, you know, it happened a lot.
The hard play around the net. Yeah. For a guy trying to take the puck to the net in the Stanley Cup playoff game.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if he could have just got his stick on the puck or what, but I mean, he finished his hit with a lot of speed, and I mean, you hit the head now.
I said Riley and I kind of, not that we disagreed, but we kind of did. Like, I just felt like at least make a play for the puck.
Yeah.
Stick never came down to the ice, but a lot of people had the, you know, their opinion. Well, he's coming back, and if he does stop it from scoring, you do have a chance because it's a one goal game, and you still have you know, time. But I just felt like, and Shifley's never even been in trouble.
Yeah, but like I think things that people don't really understand is how quick the game is, and how little time you have to think. And when that kind of play happens, it's just like first thing that comes to mind is like maybe his first thought was, if I hit him, he won't score.
He won't score. Yeah,
so
that's true. Right.
Flying maybe, but like you said, I don't blame him for making that hit. Is it dangerous? It's very dangerous, yeah, because he hits the head. But I mean, I'm pretty sure his mentality was, I gotta hit him so he doesn't score.
Yeah.
Or is it? I don't know. But the thing is, the game is very, very fast. You don't have a lot of time to think. And I mean, it sucks, but it's gonna happen in plays like that.
The only thing, G, like I agree with you. I think sometimes guys put themselves in bad positions and then say, I got myself in a bad position, you come and rock me. Well, really, it's my fault for putting myself in that position. And for you to have to hold up, like you said, the game's so fast. Yeah. Like you might hurt yourself holding up to hit me, you know, from hitting me or something. So I see both sides of it.
I would crank you.
You would. Yeah. I see. You're one of my favorite things you do. Besides all the skill things, is when you act like you don't see someone coming and you give them the reverse check. Fuck, I love that. I used to get a little wood when that would happen. I just love that, man.
Yeah,
he would do that and catch big guys too. I remember you did it to Scotty, to Hartnell, to Hartsey, his first game back at Philly, and I'll never forget him coming up behind you. Fuck you, G. He was so mad. You got it.
Smashed me after, but he was laughing. So it was good. I had to.
Yeah, I mean, I can't believe he should have known you better than that. But I love when you do that.
It's deceiving.
Act like you don't say it is.
And you're talking about a split second of being off balance, and then you're on your ass.
Yeah.
But that play, you know, that Scheifele play is, I say it's kind of a unique play, right? I mean, there's still a minute left in the game, and I never seen a guy back check harder. I mean, you know, this guy was like full speed, and like whether he made the decision to hit before the puck was in the net or not, you're talking about a fraction of a second. And, you know, and if the puck went in the net and he just like said, well, I'm going to steamroll through this guy anyways and kind of, you know, create some momentum for game two. Whatever it lands up being, it was just like you said, the game is so fast. Like you're talking about a fraction of a second in that moment. Yeah, stick. I mean, stick was on the ice. I mean, you know, if you go textbook, you know, coach's philosophy on, you know, checking, you stick on the puck, right? But I mean, like you said, you know, maybe he was just thinking, just steamroll this guy, put a shoulder through him, and maybe prevent the goal. But I think it's a hard play to kind of like find that middle ground because of the timing of it. You know, it wasn't like a deliberate intentional hit to hurt somebody. Right. I mean, he's not that type of player in the situation itself. The timing of it certainly didn't seem like that would be what anybody would want to do, but it is what it is. It's a fast game. These types of situations will always kind of fall in that gray area. And unfortunately, a guy gets hurt and gets stretchered off the ice. Didn't help the situation.
No.
I think if he gets up, you're probably not even talking about it at all.
Well, there was a big hit last night in the Vegas game. McNabb lit a guy up. His helmet went flying. But
I saw that.
I feel like if he had laid there, probably would have
just looks worse. Yeah,
it was a clean hit, though. It was a clean hit.
It
kind of reminds me when a couple years ago we were we're in the playoffs there. I think it was the year we had about 14 goalies that we were playing. I think it was nine. I think it was a record, but we were playing Pitt at home game six. Game six, and you caught Haglund coming around. I think it was Haggy coming around the net, big hit.
Yeah,
you remember that? So after the game, we ended up losing the game in the series. But Phil Kessel, our buddy, was out in the hallway, and he had some buddies there with him that had come to see the game, and he's like, "Tell G, I'm gonna get him. That was dirty." And I'm like, "That wasn't dirty." I'm like, "What are you talking about?" He's in front of his buddies. I said, "What are you gonna do to him?" I'm, you know, and his buddies are dying. They think it's hilarious, right? And he goes, "I'm serious. I'm gonna kill him. I'm gonna get him." And I'm like, "Okay, I'll tell G that." So, fast forward next season, we go in there. It was the day you were sick, and you fucking played. You ended up playing that game, and we won. Simmer fault. They're Ozolak. I can't remember the big D man. He ended up getting traded back to Dallas. But anyway, you didn't come to the morning skate because you were sick. Obviously, I wasn't going to tell anybody that. So Sid had brought you something. I can't remember what it was. It may have been from the World Cup. I'm not really sure what he had something for you, a bottle of wine or something. Maybe it was World Championships. Either way, it doesn't matter. He stopped by and he said, "Hey, can you give this to G?" And I said, "Yeah." I said, it was optional today. I made something up because G wasn't, I think he wanted to say hi to you. I said, it was optional. So whatever. So before the game, their room attendant says, "Hey, Phil wants to see you down there." So I go, you guys go into the meeting, and I walk down, and Sid's in the room, and he's all in his workout stuff. Phil's still in his suit, all disheveled. Right. You know, fucking hairs everywhere, like cat shaved. Just Phil, love him to death. But he's like, what's up, man? I gotta get out of here. It's Pittsburgh, you know, they're just being Phil. And I said, I winked at Sid and I said, "Hey, Phil, G said he wants to get it over with right away tonight." He says, "What? What the fuck are you talking about?" I said, "Well, you told me after that game last year that, you know, you were going to give it to him, that you wanted to go." He goes, "Fuck you, man. It's last season." He says, "I've got five fights." He goes, "I'm done." And I looked at Sid, you know, and I'm like, "Well, I mean, he's kind of got to answer the bell, doesn't he?" And Sid's like, "Hey, Phil, if you called him out, you got to do it." And he's like, "Fuck you guys. No way." He goes, "I got five fights in this league. I'm fucking done." And I'm like trying not to laugh. And I said, so Claude's going to drop his mitts right off the hop. 20,000 people, and you're just going to skate away. I'm like, "You chopped John Scott with your stick that night in Toronto, you know, like kind of laugh." And then Sid starts dying laughing. I'm like, "I'm just kidding. He didn't say anything," but he's like, "Oh, I was going to say, like, I'm not doing that tonight."
I would love to see that.
Oh my God. Sid was dying. Like, you, because, oh fuck, it was so funny.
Imagine what type of gear he can find if he was in like ultimate shape.
Yeah. But guys, it's not in them.
Yeah. Even right.
They can't play anymore.
Yeah.
I'm rather like that.
Yeah, right. No, it's
well,
true.
That's what Jake always says. I'm like, why don't you stretch at 90? He goes, if I fucking stretch, I fucking hurt myself.
Yeah, right. You know,
I can't do that. He says,
because I can't see.
Yeah, right. He likes to be tight. He says he likes
to be tight. Yeah. I've heard that a lot, actually. Remember that one year that Marty Brodeur actually started training? I think he like got a strength.
He got hurt.
Oh, he got hurt. Like, he blew on his elbow or his bicep or something. He's like, never again. But yeah, I guess some guys just know themselves. Well enough to feel like they know what they need, but yeah. Obviously Kes is one of those guys. You know, he's a freak.
Every night.
The sick jersey.
I can't believe what I paid for this thing.
Full price, Nas. Full price.
Full price, boys. That might be the first time, so I can't be too mad about it. First time I paid full price for a jersey was this year. I'm like, you really want G's? Yeah.
Okay. He's got good taste.
I'm just kidding. No, you knew he was good getting style. You knew he was getting it. He's got two. He's got a Pro V1 and a G.
It's in a different price bracket. He's like, you sure you want G's? It's like an extra hundo.
Yeah. You sure you don't want whoever that guy? I don't even know who this guy is, but oh, man.
You have any good nasty stories, G, of screwing with guys? I know that you might like his
I got G with a snake. Talk. He was the first. He was the first one I got with the snake.
The first one.
I have it on video. He was on the NHL Network. Yeah, I got you. You like walked away. You're mad. And I grabbed you. I'll send it to you. I grabbed you.
Send it to me.
Because DZ was like standing there. You were like, you opened it up. You jumped back. You're like, fuck. It was right when you walked in. It was probably bad timing because you were like half asleep. But then I was like, hey, I'm going to get everybody. And then you were like sending everyone down. And like, Ness got this new Red Bull.
Oh, yeah. I was always around just to be like, hey, what's going on?
Yeah. Teeing guys up.
There was some good ones, man.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I used to Riles in Toronto. Right where one of the goalies sits in that corner, it's not G's on the other side usually, but facing that. But there's a closet, and they have this curtain that they could pull out and cut the room in half, basically. Like if there's concerts, they can make it into two rooms. Well, I mean, literally, this thing goes back like 10 feet. So I would say I would get someone, and I'd be like, hey, in about 2 minutes, get in here, and we're going to get one of the players come over, jump out and scare them. And they would be like, okay. I'm like, come back in like 2 minutes. So I would get in there all the way back. And then one of the kids would come in thinking they were going to scare somebody. And I would just like grab their leg or they couldn't see anything. They couldn't see, you know, like it's just pitch black in there. It's black curtain, thick ass curtain. I used to do that one all the time. And we put guys in stick bags.
Sal loved to just hide.
Yeah.
It was a very small space. Right? We need Sal here.
Have to put him in there. We put him in a goalie bag all the time.
We had Friggy on here talk about his experience with Sal when he freaked out and he poured his full-on hot coffee all over Sal when he came out. It came out of the stick
that
bag?
That was the lockout. That was 2005. Yeah, he came out of the stick bag. He kicked him, too. He threw the coffee on him. He
poured the coffee on him.
I'm like, holy shit, Fred, that's a little extreme. The burns, for one, and then he kicks it. Booted it.
Poor Sal.
Sal should have licked it. Oh, my neck.
Yeah, exactly, right?
That's why I never got in those bags. You never know. Somebody pick it up.
Yeah, right. Catch someone at a bad time of their day. And
we had Junkyard on. He's this week's. What a beauty there, by the way, which you know. But we were talking about the Sirens at the month, and he put it back. So he scored the goal. But when he sellied, it was unbelievable. We were just talking about that with Ribs. So we got Evan too. So it was good.
Like Jim was my first was my first roommate, my first camp. And he had those tidy whities on the wall. And we were playing in
not about that.
We were playing in London, and so we get there right before we get a nap, and he's my roommate. And he gets in those underwear to sleep in. I'm like, what is going on?
That's just uncomfortable, G.
Awesome, though, man. Old school.
Where they folded up nice and neat. You know how neat under his stall. So we were talking about how all his stuff was folded up. And he always needed something, too. Like, he's like, yeah, I just found like three pairs of my 2000s, those Bauer 2000s. He's like, you wearing those 1X. Did you wear those skates all year this year?
Yeah.
Without changing?
Nope.
So you got one more pair.
I got one more pair, yes.
But they figure something out here. They didn't fit. They were well. Ryle's quick story. G. They stopped making the 1X Bauer, the Vapor. Went to the 2X. He just didn't like the feel, so we actually went with a 2S, the Supreme skate, which he had always been a Vapor guy, or as far as I know, pro anyway. And he just didn't really like them, so we went then he went to the True skates, and they're a little heavier. I guess like that's what most people say. Some people love them; they're comfortable. But then last summer, he's like, "I think I'm gonna go back to the 1X." There was some pair there. I'm like, "I know where they were." So we talked to Tuna and found them and everything. But I saw you wearing them. I'm just shaking my head. He comes walking in the year before the very last game, and he's carrying these 1X skates, and I'm like, "No." Like, what's he fucking doing? Now he would get you see G get mad at me was a lot, but in a loving way. But I used to hide his fucking gloves because he wouldn't want to break these. I'm like, dude, and then he's got and it drove me nuts. He's the only player like the league you wear. We had the gloves with orange in them. They were for the specific jersey. I would hide his other ones, and he would like.
He probably just forgot. But then I know you were just messing with me because you want me to wear the brand new.
Yeah, I did.
I just couldn't do it mentally. And I'd be like, I'm going for the warm up. And I'm like, Nasty, where are my fucking gloves? I need them. I'm going to answer no. And he's just like, he has them in the bag. Well, there you go.
I knew he was going to get them. I'm like, I just wish he'd wear these. Fuck, these things. It was funny because I would get emails like, hey, like Giroux's not wearing the right gloves. I'm like, you know what, Richie? Why don't you drive down here and tell him as he's warming up, looking at me like he's going to spear me in the fucking teeth if I don't give him his fucking gloves, right. Man. I'm sorry. He's not wearing them until he's ready. But I saw a few guys this year. God, it make, you know,
OCD.
Oh, my God. Watch it. I see like four guys in orange gloves. I'm just like, oh, my God. I can't worry about it. Yeah. I can't worry about it anymore. But I used to hide his gloves, and I'd go, Nasty. I'd go hide in the back too at practice when I would put a new pair there. I could hear him screaming for me. He's so fucking mad. I'd wait about 10 minutes. Once he got going, sometimes he'd be like, oh, they're wet now. Or he'd say, give me those fucking things. But the skates, I couldn't believe you went back to those. Now what are you going to do?
Not sure. To be determined.
Got a couple months to figure that out. Well, I think that wraps up episode 27 featuring the G unit.
For 28, no?
I know, right? Maybe we'll change it.
Oh, we could.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah, right. Well, yeah, you know, right? He did one. I was kind of shocked. He did actually do a podcast.
With who?
He did?
I can't remember, but Mike McKenna. It was Mike McKenna.
Just recently? Yeah,
no, back like 6 months ago, before he got the job.
Really?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Did you get to see Hexy in Pitt? Did he come down and say hi, or did he stay away?
We played at home. We're playing soccer, and he walked through.
Oh, okay.
That's cool. It was weird.
It was weird seeing him in that with just a bet, you know, like a jersey, not a jersey, but a jacket on with a penguin.
I'm like, you're with the enemy now.
Yeah, right.
It's weird, G.
That's what Jeff Carter said to me. He was traveling in, and he goes, I never, first of all, thought I'd get traded, but I got traded out LA, so it's way different. Yeah. It's different, you know, sides. But he goes, this I never could see me wearing that these colors.
We're face off against him. He's in front of me. I'm just like, this is fucking weird. He's like, yeah, you're telling me.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
That's really weird. I didn't even think of that, but. What did he light it up, G? And look, Hexy looked like a genius there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He knew what he was getting.
I mean, he could still skate, so fuck, he just skates like it's nothing. He still shoot the puck. And like, he's getting to play against the, you know, he's on the third line there. Like, it's, you know, I mean, I'm not saying it's easy. It's definitely not easy, but it does, you know, I think in LA he's playing on one of the top two lines and he's seeing the top two defensive coverages maybe. He had a hell of a run there with him. I think he's got a year. Does he have a year left? I think he has a year left on his deal. Maybe not. I thought he did, but anyway.
Good on Hexie for bringing a guy that he knows, you know, to his new team. Cause I mean, Kurtz is a durable guy, you know, like you said, he can skate, he can shoot, and obviously he's proven to be a winner. So, as a GM, it looks like a pretty strong move. Hexie moving some bodies,
moving them.
Yeah.
But anyway, G, seriously, man, known you a long time, buddy. Love you, you know, your family, and it's fun watching you play. It's weird. I went to my first game this year, and I had to like put a rope around Elvis because all he did was dance. Couldn't even watch fucking. And we're right across from the bench too, and he's like dancing around, and I got my phone. I'm trying to video him because he was having so much fun, and he's like, "Dad. Daddy, look." And I said, "Yeah, I see." And he goes, no, look up." I look up the screen. Me and him are the only two on the fucking.
No way.
And I'm like,
"I would have seen that."
I went like this. I just kind of put my head down, and you know, like I'm laughing. I'm like, whatever. But he danced the whole time, and so Jakey got us tickets, and so we went a couple times. But it was talk about freaking out, man. I never watch a game there. Like I, you know, like I'm like watching you guys play, and I can watch it. It's wild. But anyway, love you to death, man. You're a hell of a player. You've been a hell of a player. You got a lot of shit left too. You got a lot left in you. And, we really do appreciate you coming on, brother.
Well, thanks for having me on and, say hi to Elvis for me and, see you guys, when season starts over, let's have a beer and talk about
Yeah. And also let's, maybe we'll have a little horse game, put a little something on it.
I got a.
I know it's sick. I know it's awesome. I've seen it.
I'll be practicing. Don't worry.
Sick court, man.
No.
All right, brother.
Yeah, all right. Great seeing you, G. Appreciate you hopping on.
Awesome.
Yes. All right, man. Talk soon.
See you, buddy.
Later. All right. That episode was brought to you by Settlemyer Skate Sharpening. You know who's got the steel? Nasty's got
here,
the steel.
Baby. Howie and Steel, baby.
And everything else, including the best grind in town. And Body Check Wellness for all your hemp-derived CBD functional mushroom needs. Check out bodycheckwellness.com. And I want to thank our special guest, G-Unit, Claude Giroux, captain of the Philadelphia Flyers, for hopping on with us. It was nice to reconnect with G.
Yep. He is a good man. He's a good man and a hell of a player.
Oh my
and
God.
I don't know if he's quite appreciated enough around this area, to be honest with you.
I agree.
We both know him, so it's a little different for us, but 858 points in 943 games, man.
It's pretty impressive. It's tough to replace,
And, I mean, he just trade him. Yeah, okay. What are you going to get?
Yeah, what are you going to get?
You better make sure you're getting someone that can run that power play like him, win all the big face offs he wins. You know, like he's a hell of a player, man.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for fans to realize is just because he's not the leader that you envision doesn't mean he's not a good leader. It doesn't mean he's not a great player. I think everyone kind of has this mold of what he should be. He should be like, you know, Eric Lindros or, you know what I mean, or whoever, you know. And I think for G is we talked about it, just being himself. And, you know, that's where the genuine leader comes into play. And his teammates see it, you know. I think anybody you ask about G is that he's a great leader, you know.
I
think, honestly, we talked about this before, is that he needs maybe a beefier surrounding cast of that core leadership group. Because you look at teams that we've talked about this too, look at the teams that have won the last 10 years or every year, really. The core group of leaders is like, you know, five Claude Giroux in some way, shape, or form, or seven or eight, you know. So, but no, G, you know, high-end skill, great guy, works his ass off. People don't realize how hard this guy works.
That's another thing. He works. He shows up. I meant that when I said it. Like, he shows up every night.
Yeah, he does.
He showed up. I mean, most NHL players do. Like, you guys play injuries. Like, but I'm just saying, like, G, I'm not saying other guys don't show up every night, but G always show, like, he's just such a competitor.
Yeah, he cares.
I mean, he just, he shows up, man, every night. Yeah. And like you said, he works hard. He works his bag off in practice too. He's not one of those guys from, you know, last on, first off. Like, he's out there and he works.
Oh, yeah.
And he demands the other guys, you know, he stays on them. And that's a good thing. You know, this year, there weren't many practices, man.
Yeah, right.
Like, I don't think any team probably could really practice like the coaches would want. But anyway, he's a hell of a player. We sure did enjoy having him on and talking to him. We'll have him on again because we're going to have a little horse contest, I think, or something. playing some hoops with G.
Yeah.
He claims to be one of the best athletes around. So have to do something with him for sure.
Yeah. It'd be good to reconnect maybe closer to the season with him and do something face to face. You know, the Zoom was good. It served its purpose, but I think, we get him sitting down and get some laughs out of him. Get him in his element.
In the studio. As you like to say. Yeah, we'll be in the studio. That'll be fun.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate him coming on. I know he's busy with the fam and expecting again here in August, I think he said. So.
August, yeah.
Congrats to him and the fam. Thanks again to G for hopping on. That wraps up episode 28 of Nasty Knuckles. Be sure to tune in next week for episode 29. Until then, knuckleheads, stay safe and have some fun.
See ya, knuckleheads.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.